Blog Talk Radio.
Well, okay. Here we are. You know, my opening today was supposed to be something quite different from what I'm telling you right now, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you that anyhow. Okay, this is what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be me telling you all about the great fun that I've had while I was learning all of my IT stuff and setting up my show and improving my blog and all of my various platform pages. Then, this morning, my computer developed a conniption of sorts, and it's pausing. It was pausing. At first, it was just every half hour while I was listening to my Sunday morning music. And then, just in the last 20 minutes or so, it started happening every 30 seconds. So I had this brilliant idea that if I reboot it, it would be fine. That is the wrong thing to do. My computer is now hung with five dots trying to circle, and the HP logo on the screen. Now, don't ask me why. That just does not give me a good feeling. But I'm sure that there's some really, really good reason for it. Now, that's just only one part of it. The other part of it is that my telephone, my Android telephone, is not connected somehow or another, and so therefore I have no data usage today. Okay, I can use the telephone, I can send text messages, but I cannot open my Kindle app. Now, I tell you something, I have learned a lot, but I have a lot to learn because I just don't like being bullied by this IT situation. So, you know, I do have a lot to figure out. But I want you to know that I have learned a thing or two about my boards, how to manage my boards, and one of those things is that I can schedule my tweets so that I don't have to always be doing it. Well, that's not news to a lot of people I know because I read about it in a blog somewhere, an article somewhere online. But it's good for me to know because I could never quite figure out how I was supposed to do it and be online at the same time. I mean, you don't have but two hands, and somehow or another, my two hands always either got to get in my way or hit the wrong thing, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, yeah, that reminds me. So when I tried to get back to my show and the computer's frozen, then I dial in on my phone. I put in my PIN. What do you think I did next? I cut myself off. That's right. So anyhow, I'm really glad that I got to where I am. So anyway, today, I am happy to welcome you to day number 10 of National Hot Tea Month 2016. Before I leave the IT moment, I want to just tell you that we have a very lively, engaging guest today who is a local tea lover. And, you know, when you get so deeply involved with the Internet, if you're not careful, you could start to think that all your friends are virtual, and you just forget that there's somebody up the street you could talk to. But anyhow, I have a local friend who's going to join us here in a little bit. He's going to talk to us about his experiences with tea and what his favorites are and so forth. Another thing I want you to know about my progressing through the Internet is that I have an ebook that's live right now. I'm going to start a promotion tonight. It's only going to cost $2.99 for a while. It started out a little bit above that, but I'm going to reduce it. And then the great, great news of the day is that next week, this is a promise to you. I promise. I absolutely solemnly promise you that by the time we meet again, I am going to have intro music. See, the person who's going to be joining us in a little bit is the radio person, and I he knows all about intro and outro music and stuff like that. I'm sure he's not the only person I know that does, but being that I have been given some music that was made specifically, not necessarily specifically, but was given to me by the artist himself, I owe it to myself and the artist who's kind enough to give it to me to make some use of it and let it be heard. So that's what I will be doing. I also want to be sure to encourage you that if you haven't already found something that you could do on the internet and do well, then, oh, you don't have to do it well. I just want you to find something and do it because, you know, this is just the most exciting thing that there is. I'm not kidding you. It's exciting and it's easy and it's, oh, it's just the most fun. So anyhow, just take off after that. I just think everybody should be doing it. You know, I think everybody should be living a virtual life, but still, I think everybody should be creating some income in any way that they can. And so give it a try. I'm going to do a show here before long that is just going to be all about things to do online, you know, all about things to do online, I should say, to earn money. And I'm going to, I may even have some guests who are already doing it. That would be good. And I just want everybody to be marching along. I mean, just because, you know what I learned? Just because somebody has a really snappy computer and a really snazzy, sexy-looking cell phone and have the iPhone 6S and all that type of thing, it doesn't mean that they're computer savvy. Because somebody told me just the other day she had an iPhone 5, and the only thing she uses, only internet that she uses is Facebook. And it was kind of funny because this is a 35-year-old person, and but she does live here in rural Northeast Georgia. I just thought she'd be doing it. She don't even buy stuff online. She just uses the phone for Facebook. And then another woman told me the other day, she never buys anything online. She said, I ain't got no Amazon account. You don't? No. Mm-mm. I don't need an Amazon account because if I want something, I'll just buy it locally. I don't need to order it online. She said her husband does sometimes, but she don't bother with it. And then one other person, he's a lawyer, he said, so I said, you can read my book for free on Kindle. He said, I don't have Kindle. And I said, you don't? No. Why not? Because I don't. That was the end of it. Okay. Well, he won't be reading it on Kindle then, will he? So anyhow, there's a lot to learn, and there's a lot of fun to have. So I'll keep nudging you in that direction. Yeah, that'll be good. So, again, here we are. We are at day number 10 of our 31-day tea party. And I've had a really good time because a few things have happened. One is that I've given away some more tea gifts, and I really love to give away tea gifts because in my head, I'm always helping somebody get started with a tea relationship, you know, and I think everybody should have one of those. But, see, when I go in places and buy this stuff, you know, I'm always in the thrift stores. And so when I go in there and I buy it, I almost always know that I'm not going to keep it. If I do keep it, I'm not going to keep it very long before I run across somebody who I want to give it to. So that's what I do. And so I gave away some more tea gifts. My sister visited me yesterday, and we had an impromptu tea party. I gave her a few lessons about various teas and, tea blends and what to expect when you drink lavender, what to expect when you drink green tea, especially near bedtime. And then I gave her some tea to take home with her. I gave her one of those blossoming teas. Now, if you haven't seen one of those, you're really in for a treat. But today specifically is just going to be some of my favorite teas, and our guest is going to tell us some of his. I also am really, I'm going to read to you some of my little Fufu tea books that I have. A Fufu tea book is one of those little tiny hardback books that's about 5 inches square, and it will always have something on the front. It'll almost look like a party invitation. Oh, it'll have maybe 65, not even maybe 65 pages, maybe 35 or 40 pages. And it'll be full of quotes that take up the whole page and recipes, and sometimes they'll have other pictures, just depending on where you get them from. Now, it will come as no surprise to you that most of mine came from one thrift store or another. My sister did give me one, though, the same sister who was here yesterday, but I have about four, and I probably wouldn't mind having more of them, but I'm not likely to make any of these little dainties because it was very easy for me to walk down to the bakery at the latte to meet a grocery store and buy some stuff. There's a lot less trouble to do that than it could ever be to make something, no matter how simple it is. So at the end of the show, I'm going to just read a few quotes to you and let you see just what you're missing. Oh, no, not what you're missing, but what you have to look forward to when you develop your relationship with tea. I hope you have made a selection of which one of the tea books you're going to start with, although I still recommend that it be the book entitled Green Tea. I wouldn't absolutely insist on that because there's another book I like. It's entitled The Tea Companion, and it really covers a great, great deal more. Not necessarily a great deal more, but it's a different presentation altogether. It has a lot of features in it, and it also has some various tea information. But that is for later. Now, I am going to right now engage our guest. And so just give me a moment, and he will be back with us. Sorry, I should say he'll be with us. Okay. Okay, so here we are. We have our guest for the day. This is the great Nicholas Dean, and he's a tea lover. He's a tea person who likes tea, on his way to being a tea lover. Welcome, Nicholas. I'm so glad you were able to say yes when I asked you to join me today.
Absolutely, Sandra, and thanks for having me on your show. I definitely liked my fair share of tea, and like you just said, I'm on my way to being a tea lover all because of you.
That's very generous. I was just saying that generally each part of my show, template parts of my show include an IT moment at the beginning, and at the end it includes a book review of some sort. Obviously, this month's books are going to be all tea books, and I was talking about my little computer snafu, but hey, life goes on, you know. There was a time when there was no computers to deal with, and life was happening anyway, so we'll have a good time in spite of it all. I want you to know that yesterday I gave my sister a blossoming tea, she had never seen it, and then I showed her a picture of it, and she said it looked like it was going to crawl out of the cup, but I gave you one of those, and you had a different experience with it.
Yeah, well, my girlfriend had made it, and she said it ended up looking pretty beautiful. And like I said, I've got some pictures, and I need to send them to you. But it was gorgeous, and apparently it tasted really good, too. So it was the best of both worlds.
Oh, good, good, good. Which one of all the various ones that you've sampled here recently, have you settled on a favorite one?
I have to say that it was a cherry-flavored black tea. that you gave me, and I really enjoyed that one. It was really naturally, very naturally sweet, and it was nice. Didn't have to put a lot of sweetener in it because I'm not huge into the bitterness of black tea and coffee and things like that. But that was very sweet, and I have to say, it just drinking that warm tea, especially as cold as it's been lately, it's so nice.
Well, that's what we want. A nice experience on a cool, cold day.
Absolutely.
So, have you bought any, you probably haven't, I don't know if you're a person who frequents thrift stores the way I do. I was about to ask you, have you started buying your teacups yet? You may already have some. Did you already have some teacups?
Yeah, we actually do have just a few of them. But, yeah, you told me earlier this week about all the thrift stores and the cool things that they've gotten there. So I've decided that the next time I get the chance and I can head back home and my girlfriend and I get a little bit of free time, we're going to go see if we can find another set. But the little set that you gave us is wonderful. It's been working fantastically.
Good. So I was also saying that I have a tendency to, no matter what, no matter where I am, to always have an eye out for tea stuff. And I'm always buying it, even though I really don't need it, because I do live alone. I do not have any need for it, but I'm always gathering up anyway. And then I generally, within 30 days or so, I've given it away to somebody else. But I do that. I just recently bought one of the tea pots that I really like is the individual pot, where the pot is the into the cup, and it's a matching set. And I like those. My sister asked me for one. Then I got one. She said, no, I'll just wait until you have one with its own infuser. So I still have it. But I was going to talk today about blends. And I don't remember if I gave you any tea that was blended, or if everything I gave you was just one. Did I give you any blends?
I don't know if you did give me any blends. I don't think you did, but like you said, you've told me some of the markets in the area. And like I said, you know, I'm really just starting to get into the hot tea thing, and you've definitely piqued my interest, though. There's a lot of different things that you and I have spoken about, and it's like, all right, well, I think you're starting to form a new little hobby here. So I'm looking forward to trying some of those blends, though.
Mm-hmm. I like the black tea with the lychee in it. I guess that has to be my reigning favorite. It's black tea, and as you know, black tea is a little bit on the heavy side. But the lychee fruit has a natural sweetness to it. Lychee is like a walnut-sized mango, and it has a pit. And it has white fruit that covers the pit. And it's a tropical fruit, and it's just really, really delicious. If you buy it fresh, but if you can buy it in a can most any time, it's just that it's going to taste a little bit too much like a can. It's like being a tropical fruit. The only time I've ever seen it was in the summer. I don't know that that means anything one way or the other, but it's a really delicious blend, and it has health properties as well. It helps to lower cholesterol and blood pressure, and The most interesting thing about black tea, though, is that it doesn't matter really what you mix it with. It still retains its potency. And so somehow or another, there's one I like called Earl Grey, and it has the orange of the bergamot in it, bergamot orange peel in it. And bergamot is a sedative, and it somehow or another, it overrides the potency of the black tea, and it really is a sedative. It really, really is. I found that out when I was working the night shift. No, that's not true. I was working a 12-hour day shift, and I had some of it before I went to work, and I had some more of it after I got there, and all day long I was bobbing up and down. My head was just swinging. But that's one of my favorites. And another one that I like is, I just recently realized this was the Assam, A-S-S-A-M. Assam is a country in India, and that's the name of the tea. The first time that I had it some years ago, it was just way too strong. But now that I've had it, I guess I've gotten accustomed to it through the the black tea that I've been drinking all these years. It doesn't seem strong at all. It seems really kind of mellow and kind of malty,
mm-hmm.
like that, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That was one thing I did want to hit on, though. Like you said, just the general health benefits. I have to say, I mean, it's kind of weird, and I can't give you any specifics, but I just feel better since I've started to drink more tea. I know that might sound crazy, but and it's just tea, but it's almost like a detoxifier in a way. I don't know if I've told you or not, but you know, I used to smoke cigarettes, and I had actually recently started using the e-cigarettes to try and get off, and I've noticed that after drinking the tea, my cravings are going away. I'm not wanting to smoke my e-cigarette nearly as often as I was before. So it's got to have some definite detoxifying effects. You know, if you're trying to get into shape, or, you know, like I'm trying to do, change your bad habits, it's definitely a good thing to help, for sure.
Nicholas, I just can't believe you said that. That's terrific, because, you know, one of the things that I do when I'm advertising my show, my local show, by the way, Nicholas is my producer of my local talk radio show. But one of the things that I do is that when I hand out a card that has 10 health benefits of tea, and those 10 things came out of a book by Dr. Atkins. And one of those things says, I mean, just the general statement says that people who drink tea on a regular basis are generally in much better health. So there you have it.
Yep. Proof right here in the pudding,
yes,
or in the teapot, to be specific.
It's not just something that Dr. Atkins said. Oh, that's just terrific. Wow. Well, one thing that I like about it, too, is how I'm drinking some green tea right now, and if I don't finish this tea by the time, say, 7 o'clock, then I'll be awake and alert like a 2-year-old until midnight or later. And midnight is not a good time for me to be awake, because that means I'm going to still be awake at 1.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do that and you wake up in the morning after drinking too much green tea, you feel really alert. You don't feel hungover and groggy like when you drunk too much coffee the night before. So I tell you, this is just really something. I think about it a lot of times. I'm thinking, when I'm talking in my IT moment, I'm talking in terms of people doing things to earn money online, and then I look at some of the websites that I see where some of the stuff that people sell, and I'm thinking, so you read through here for a while, and you keep clicking, and you come to a place, invariably, you come to a place where you got to add your credit card information to get any credit. I'm thinking, what are they selling? And then so I was thinking about my own stuff, and I said, well, I don't sell anything. But then while I was walking, I was thinking, well, I guess what I would have to do is start some classes, some online classes or something, because I think that's where I was going, because I still wanted to have my tea room and or tea shop, but it hasn't come to a complete stop. But I was just thinking, in the meantime, I'm just going to have to copy what everybody else is doing, because I tell you, it just amazes me to see how much money a person can spend. And obviously, people are doing it because it's everywhere. But
yeah.
That's just so interesting. That is just so interesting. That, you know, and so in a 15-minute class, I could teach a lot of things about tea. Wow.
You really could. And that's the one thing I have to say. You know, I've heard the whole, and I'm sure other people listening to this show right now have heard the whole, herbal remedies and da-da-da, and I'll be honest, I'm one that for the most part, I generally just kind of shrug those thoughts to the side. But ever since I met you, you put them across in a very plain-spoken, common-sense way. And I was like, you know, all right, let me give it a shot. Let me see if there's some warranted truth to what she's talking about. And completely and totally true. You definitely have. I've learned a lot from you in the, month and a half, 2 months that I've been the producer for your show. So I've learned a lot from you, Sandra.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Every time somebody tells me something like that, it means that I have to really do good now. Every time, especially somebody who I'm going to see again. It's a different story from somebody online who said, okay, but I'm going to see this guy again, so I got to really get on the ball. That's just wonderful. And then I was thinking, Actually, I do have something I can sell. I do have a book, and as a matter of fact, my book, the first book, not the first print book, came as a result of me not having a congregation. So I still don't have one, but you know, you can do anything online. So I think as this conversation unfolds, I get more and more aware of what to do. So, you know, when people start telling me things, telling me what they're doing and paying attention to what I'm saying. You see, I grew up in a big family, so I'm accustomed to people not listening to me. But when they do listen, it's quite an occasion. Wow.
Well, I've been listening and paying attention and have learned a lot. It's definitely been a two-way street. You know, you've been able to share, and I've been able to learn a lot. So I appreciate it.
Good. Thank you. I was going to also tell you that when you get ready, the next time you go to your family or they come to you, I'm sure you're going to want to have a tea party of some kind. You know what I find? That if anybody comes to visit me, it invariably turns into an impromptu tea party. Because I'll offer somebody some refreshments when they visit you. Of course, me, I don't have anything else but tea, because my sister yesterday, she said that she's eating her lunch, and she said, I wish I had something to drink, like a Coke. I said, can't help you with that. I don't have anything in the world in this house but tea and water. That's all I have. So she didn't want no more tea.
That's the best way to go about it.
Yeah, she didn't have no more. She didn't want no more tea, so she's out of luck that time. But I find it just so much fun to do, because people, my cup collection is very impressive. It's even more impressive if it's a person who doesn't have any of that kind of stuff. And so it's just so nice and easy to put together a tea party for two. As a matter of fact, one of my little foo-foo books is entitled Tea for Two, and it just gives you all these pretty little pictures and table settings. But you don't have to have matching teacups and linen napkins and flowers on the table. You don't have to do all that to have a tea party. You just make some tea and pour it up. Now, it does help. I will say that it does help if you have something to eat with it. But if you don't have anything to eat, you can sit there and while away the hours and sip tea. And, of course, you always have to, I'm always teaching tea while I'm drinking it. So if somebody is just really not all that interested, they'll get interested. You can make a tea party a lot of fun. I have a few games that I'm saving for the next time I have an official tea party. I have some checkers that were made in 1962. They cost 29 cents for the box, and of course they came from a local thrift store. But I don't have a checkerboard, but I have that, and I have some dominoes. They came in a metal tin box. I have all kinds of stuff going on. So it's just a lot of fun to see what I can do to put together a
say it's funny you say that. I actually came back home for the weekend, and Friday night, once I pulled off the interstate, and I called my girlfriend. I said, hey, I'm on the way home. You know, I'll be there in just a little bit. Would you do me a favor? Could you get me some tea ready? And we sat down, and when I got home, I got home late, and we sat down, and we drank a cup of tea, came up here, you know, made a second cup, came up here, and sat in the bed and drank tea and talked and just back and forth. And like you said, I taught her some things that I had learned from you in the show that we recorded this week. And so we shared that stuff. And it was just, you're right, tea is kind of an occasion. Even if it is just a drink that you might want to sit and sip on your own and enjoy by yourself, if two or more gather and there's tea around,
that
it always ends
exactly
up being a good time.
Right. I am so happy. Thank you for sharing that. I just love that, because I'm always thinking, you know, when I'm drinking tea, I'm thinking, gee, you know, I've never had anybody fix tea for me. I'm always fixing tea for someone else. I've been to a tea rooms before, but I haven't ever just had somebody just arbitrarily just make some tea for me. Never. It's just really interesting. I'm also a certified reflexologist, and I've had my tea done twice in my whole life. But that's good. As long as other people are getting it, that is just wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So you've got a little following starting here in
so
Woodstock.
I'm so proud. That's good. So going to continue with my research, because it's just so funny. You know, I read one book and it says something, and I read another book and it says the complete opposite, and I'm thinking, y'all, this is not how it goes. You know, like the discussion that we had about all tea starting beginning from one bush, starting out as white, and then the amount of oxidation or fermentation that it has determines whether it becomes green tea, oolong, or black. Well, I read something just today that said, just as bold as you please, green tea is not fermented. And I'm thinking, where'd you find that out from? So I don't, I mean, I'm not going to invite this dude and tell him he made a mistake, but, you know, after a while, it all comes together. It's kind of like the topic of exercise. You know, some people will tell you, oh, it's better to exercise in the morning before you eat, and others say, no, you should exercise at night before you go to bed. And then, you know, people say, don't eat before you exercise, eat after. Don't eat protein before you exercise, eat it after. You know, crazy. So it just goes on and on. So eventually you develop your own understanding of it, and that's the thing that works. So,
like you said, that's what it is. Take everything that you're teaching and put it to application, and you'll find different answers for yourself. You know, everything works differently for different people, and you don't know for yourself until you try it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what makes it so much fun, that doing that. I have a little teeny tiny. I'm going to, sometime soon, I'm going to post some pictures. I'm just going to make a picture blog of some of my tea stuff. But I have a little teeny tiny tea set. I have a little niece who likes stuff like that. She likes to play with her little kitchen set that she got for Christmas and all that. But the little tea set that I have is glass, and so my sister decided to wait. She's my sister's granddaughter. My sister decided to wait till she's a little bit bigger so she can do that. But all of those things are just such fun. I don't believe that I'll be wearing any teapot earrings or anything like that. But I probably wouldn't mind a teapot pin, because, you know, those big things like that, those are fun. But I was going to say something about another of the blends that I like. And this actually isn't tea. It's just an herbal blend, but it's very, very tasty. It's sage, ginger, and rosemary. Now, it isn't tea. Just because you put it in hot water and extract something from it, this is an infusion, an infusion of the properties of the herbs. But it's a nice, nice blend. And another thing about those three is that they combine their properties, you know, and then you get a really good, shall I say, treatment from everything. Because ginger, like, it's a very good drink to have with food. Something slightly heavy, like a high protein meal or something like that. If you're gonna, it's ginger and rosemary both stimulate digestion. Ginger warms you, and rosemary stimulates circulation to your brain. Cayenne pepper is another one that I like to add in there sometimes, pretty much just for the fun of it, because cayenne pepper catalyzes the properties of all the other herbs that it encounters, and it makes you, that's another thing that happens. You start to feel a general increase in your well-being as time passes if you use it on a regular basis. But I'm just really excited about the whole tea experience, and I just knew that when I originally, when I have had two great collections of tea paraphernalia, and one of them I completely gave away when I realized that I wasn't going to be opening a tea business anytime soon. But the one that I have now, I have a portfolio. I have several thousand pictures of the stuff that I've had. So I'm going to make a picture posting on my blog. But you know, another thing too is that in the West, tea just isn't that well known.
No.
And so tea, I guess, just like the Toyota and everything else that came from that part of the world, finds its way into the awareness of Westerners by way of commercial trade, because most people who are aware of tea are only aware of what they see in the grocery store. And, you know, it's just, there's a whole lot more to it than that. And just to know all of these things about it, you know, in my view, the number one thing that you can do to enhance and improve your health is just simply to drink a cup of hot tea every day, green tea preferably, or if you like, white tea. But it's just so endless that wow, there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do.
Yes, there's a lot to learn for sure. I have gone and learned a lot was looking at the boxes at the grocery store. Because, you know, when you walk through and someone who's listening might decide, you know, I'm going to get into this tea thing. You got to be careful because even the celestial, the teas that look like they're going to be the most organic, the most natural, the most, you know, with the least additives, you got to be careful and look at that box because a couple of them still have some things in there that are hard to pronounce and don't look like English. So...
Well, you know, my rule is that when I read a label and I come to a word that I can't pronounce or one that I surely don't use in polite conversation, I just put the thing back on the shelf.
It's the best way to do it.
That's funny. Yeah, but you have to really wonder about why somebody puts additives in tea. It doesn't need any preservatives. I don't know what else in the world anybody would be adding to it, but I'm sure they have their reasons. So
I'm sure some kind of fillers or something.
So that's how tea becomes the second most consumed beverage in the world, because they are on the other side of the world over there. There are people who give it to their little children instead of Mountain Dew and Coke. And there are parts of the world where the teapot just never cools off. And I love it. That's what I want. That's where I want my house to be. Is, you know, that place where there's always a teapot ready. So that's what I have been working on for today. I was going to say one thing before you go. I was going to say one thing about sweetening. Did you, by chance, did you sweeten any of your tea?
Yes, I did. I used agave sweetener, and I just bought that from the grocery store down the street. Because when we initially started, my girlfriend said, "Oh, let's just put sugar in it." And I'm like, you know, let me try something different. And I had remembered, you know, agave sweetener. You mentioned that. So I went and bought some, and it was fantastic. And like I said, the cherry blend that you got me, and I guess that might be one way to test it when I go and buy some teas. If you smell it and it smells very sweet, you probably won't have to add a lot of sweetener to it. It's pretty naturally sweet. So I used the agave sweetener, and I didn't have to use a whole lot in the cherry or the mango either. The plain black tea, let me tell everyone about this, my mishap.
Okay.
So I'm sure you told everyone about the fact that, you know, the magic number is 3 minutes to steep your tea, right? And that is totally not true. Sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more. It just depends on how strong you want it. Don't do like what I did and start to steep your tea and then walk into another room and forget about it, because I let mine steep for probably 7 or 8 minutes or so, and it was just plain black tea, and I came back and I said, oh no, I forgot about it, but I'm going to try it anyway, and I tried to tough it out. I used a lot of sweetener, and it still wasn't very good, so don't make the same mistake that I did, because it is a delicate process in a way, so...
One thing that has happened to me in recent times is that I have taken on a hankering to travel the world in pursuit of tea, just to study tea and to drink tea, and I would even be willing to harvest it. But one thing that is worth knowing about it is that the cultural aspects of each country where tea is consumed, popularly consumed, is always put into its presentation and its preparation and so forth. For example, in India, milk is added to tea, and it is in Europe, a lot of European countries as well. But I said that to my sister yesterday, and she said, "Oh my, that just sounds really gross. I can't imagine adding milk to tea." I said, "Well, if you want something really good," because she liked the cherry tea as well. I said, "If you want something really delicious," I said, "you put a little bit of, you sweeten the cherry tea and you add milk to it. Actually, not milk, but heavy whipping cream."
Mm-hmm.
and it is just divine. It's almost like dessert. But to give you an just to talk about how different people tell you different things, one of the books that I've read, this person said, never, although milk does very good, milk is great added to tea, but never should you add heavy whipping cream. I said, oh, no, my dear, you're wrong this time. heavy whipping cream is a fabulous addition to a cup of black tea. It just really is. It is. And it doesn't even matter if it's the store brand or if it's organic or what. None of that matters. But that's a great thing to do. I don't know if it would have salvaged your oversteeped black tea or not, but it's really great.
But I say I don't think anything would have saved that tea, unfortunately. But you know, I learned my lesson the hard way, so now I know to keep an eye on it.
Okay, that's good. All righty. Well, I think we're within about 15 minutes now. I'm into the last quarter of the show. Boy, I tell you, I am so happy that you joined me today. It has really made the hour go by in a nice fashion. And, oh, wow, your encouraging words are really going to turn me into a great, great teacher of tea. So I just really appreciate all that you've done to help me out today, Nicholas.
Well, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here and share the knowledge you have bestowed upon me about tea. And you have a wonderful day, Sandra. And I'll see you sometime next week.
Thank you so much. Take care of yourself.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Now, one other part that I'm going to pass along to you. I'm collecting a bibliography of tea. Okay. Well, you know, generally a bibliography is just a list of books that you've read on whatever topic you just wrote about. Well, I have some of those entries because back in the spring and summer when I first restarted doing some research, I went down to my local library and I borrowed probably every book on tea that was to be found in the system. And then I started buying them. Well, my rule about buying books is this: if I'm going to buy it online, it can't cost more than $5, and it's got to have free shipping. Now, I have a great collection of books, but I don't have many books on my topic. Well, I have enough to get started, though, I will tell you that. And my favorite one, I just remembered that my favorite book was one that my younger sister Audrey gave me some years ago, and I don't seem to have it anymore. But I want to introduce you, if you haven't already come across this book, I want you to be aware of the book entitled 20,000 Secrets of Tea. Now, this book is not about Camellia sinensis, the official name of tea. This book is about healing herbs. It is a fabulous resource for herbal information. And I would say that if you read this book and you practiced it and you shared it with people, pretty soon you'd be an herbalist. I mean, you would know a lot of stuff because the way this book is laid out is that she takes each herb and she tells you she gives you a little bit of history of it, and then she tells you what ailments it aims at, and then she tells you what are the counterindications of it, and then she gives you historical uses of it. And so she does, and also the beneficial parts of it. And this is just a fabulous, fabulous book. It's just laid out so nicely, and then out in the opening part, she has an alphabetical herbal guide. And out here, she has listed all the ailments that a person could possibly have. It lasts for about 9 pages, and then she tells you which herb to use. So she's done a great job of cross-referencing right there. And then the index is quite, quite expensive. So is the book, the bibliography. So this book can be bought at just about any of your local franchise-type bookstores. I bought my first one at Books a Million, and I probably bought the second one at someplace similar. Yeah, I've had two copies of it because the first one, it started to fall apart. I used it so much. But I had it about 12 years ago, the first one. And this one I've had, well, I guess about 6 or 7 years. But this book almost is in the same class with Back to Eden. Now, of course, Back to Eden is the official text as far as I am concerned. But if you have any interest at all in our present day, today's, because I always forget this, you know, if I don't do it at first, I always forget it. Today's exegesis is Luke 4:23, and it is those three simple words that everybody always remembers: physician, heal thyself. Well, the goal of my work is that everybody become our own health guru. So when I am talking, I am saying to you, guru, you heal yourself. So you don't have to, you don't have to make the learning of something alternative a task or a chore. You can make it a lot of fun. And I just simply would suggest that you buy a book like this and then just work your way through it. Just read about it and, I don't know, maybe talk it over with somebody and then go somewhere and buy you some. And see, by the time the spring comes, we'll be ready to start our herb garden. And then by the time you get done with that, you will really be very well on your way. I don't know if this happens in every state or not, but in the state of Georgia, government housing projects were surrounded by shrubs of rosemary. Now, rosemary has been, in times past, in biblical times and before, has been so highly regarded that it was used as legal tinder. Rosemary and mint and frankincense and all those things were used as legal tinder, which is to say they were used instead of money. They were used in trade. And so if all you have to do is walk out there to the housing project and cut off a few bunches of it, then you ought to do it because it's going to be ever fresh and it's going to be a great experience for you. That's a very, very simple way to start with it. There also is a variety of mint that grows wild. It, of course, falls back some in the cold weather. It doesn't die out altogether, but it falls back some. So you'll be able to see you. And there are so many others that grow wild. You almost start to think, after you learn these things and what they look like and where they grow, after a while you almost start to think that there's no such thing as a weed, because I remember quite well growing up with the notion that dandelion and plantain were weeds. And I can remember quite well pulling them up in the backyard of the house that I live in right now, when we were making mud pies, and we would use them to kind of like, I guess we called it sandwiches or something, but we would use those leaves, and the leaves were almost as big as the palm of your hand. And another one that grows in that fashion is comfrey, C-O-M-F-R-E-Y, and it grows, and I saw some just today while I was walking. It's a little bit wilted from the cold and the rain, but it's still there. So you have a great adventure for yourself when you decide that you want to learn about all things herbal. You don't just have to read my book. But there will be another book released on the 15th of January. It's going to be All Things Sweet. Just going to give a little bit of information about the various sweeteners. And, you know, one thing I'll tell you about these sweeteners that I am working on right now is that every one of them has some sort of health benefit, and it was only proper that I should put something in there. I'm going to give sugar its due recognition, but I will tell you, I have never heard anybody say that sugar has any sort of health benefit to it. So if you come up with some, I would surely like to hear from you. And in the meantime, I will continue. And I want to remind you that the best place to find teacups and tea sources and teapots is your local thrift store. Now, one thing that we know about the present age that we live in is that shopping and food are the world's top two ways of entertainment. So that also leaves everybody with a whole lot of extra stuff. And you decide what you want, and then you go to this store and start looking for it. And I promise you, in a week's time, you'll have a perfect arsenal for any kind of tea party that you want to have. So be encouraged with all these efforts, and don't forget, although I haven't told it to you, I don't think you have forgotten that you are listening to the Health Reverend. And remember also that the reason I put T-H-E out in front of it is because I am the only one. You know, the seminary that I went to was the ITC. Well, it still is the ITC. But the ITC, this is the only interdenominational seminary in the world. Every other seminary trains its own denomination, but we train everybody. Well, we didn't have any, everybody who was Christian, let us say it that way. Yeah, we had Catholics, yeah, we had Presbyterians, et cetera, et cetera. So I'd like to remind you that when we are having these discussions and when I'm talking to you about tea, I have not forgotten, and I don't want you to forget, that we are working in a time of crying need for good health. There are other people who will tell you that we have a greater need for other things, you know. But I'm just stuck on this. Health absolutely is wealth. And if you are not in good health, I don't think it makes much difference to you what tomorrow or next year brings you. Because if you're going to be ill, you're not going to be in position to enjoy it. And if you're not able to pursue happiness in your life, then you will be missing out on a great, great deal. But I want us to remember that what we're after is health, good health. And I want to remind you of the kale shake. If I haven't said it to you, I say it repeatedly on my local talk show. Don't forget your kale shake. It's a simple proposition. You take yourself a handful of kale, and then you take maybe a handful of berries, blueberries or strawberries or raspberries, half of a banana, and a cup of water. Put it in your blender for about 3 minutes or until it gets as thin as you want it, and you drink it right down. What happens is that you're feeding yourself and detoxing yourself in one step, because kale is the most nutritious green vegetable, and it also is very, very antioxidant. But when you add the berries in, that property is increased, and so you therefore are doing two things for yourself at one time. In the summertime, I would drink my kale shake before I went out to walk, and then I would have another one sometime in the middle of the afternoon. I started out with just one, and then I started to notice an increase in my vision, and I increased it to two. But also, Dr. Berg, who I listen to, you know, my internet doctor, Dr. Eric Berg, he says that the kale with the red-leaved kale is a very good cure for macular degeneration. And I have weak vision. I've always had weak vision. But I started to notice that my vision was improving. So that's why I went to drinking two a day. So I also have some kale planted out there in the backyard, so I'm all over it. But I want you to remember to do the simplest things that you can to enhance and improve your health. And I always offer the simplest things because we know for certain that that's going to be our best bet for getting to where we're going. The simpler it is to apply it, then the more likely we are to do it and the more likely we are to maintain it. So be sure to do that. And I also really, really want to encourage you to walk as many times per week as you can or as long as you can. And I really want to remind you that the first most important thing that you can do to improve your health is sleep properly. And that means going to bed and getting up at the same time every day, as close to it as possible. And there are a few steps that you can go through to be sure you get into bed on time,
So you just have to start a little earlier. Don't stay on your computer until the last minute. If you want to go to bed at 10:30, turn off your computer at 9 o'clock. Yes, turn off the computer and start relaxing. Dim the lights. Play with the kids or pet the dog or hug your honey, whatever it is that you have to do to start to relax. And then when you get into bed, don't have a nightlight. I mean, if you're under 6 years old, okay, you can have a nightlight. But don't have a nightlight in your room. And make your room as dark as you can and as cool as you can still be comfortable with. And then just relax yourself and go and take deep breaths and you'll go to sleep. And I know that this will work because it's what I do. And unless I stay up too late, which takes you into a different proposition. But see, sleep comes in waves throughout the night, beginning about 10 o'clock. And these waves of sleep last for about an hour and a half before the next wave happens. And you go into deeper sleep, and then, around 4:30, you start coming out of them. Okay, so if you miss the first wave, your brain will think that you don't want to go to sleep. That's been happening to me for years. I didn't know why until I started listening to Dr. Berg. But so your brain thinks you want to stay up later. So you're in the bed and you can't go to sleep. If you pay any attention to it, you'll realize it and you'll see that all you have to do is catch that first wave and that makes a big, big difference. But proper sleep is necessary because that's when your body rebuilds itself. That's when your body heals itself. That's when it reduces its blood pressure. That's what people, one of the main things that a diabetic person needs is proper sleep. So it cannot be overstated. It cannot be overrated. So try that, and then by the time we meet again, I hope that you will be feeling better, even if you're feeling good today, like Nicholas said about drinking his tea. You'll notice that you're feeling better. I really want to see the time come when everybody knows just exactly how to do, what to do to maintain their health. And when I say everybody, I just mean every adult. And adulthood does begin at 18, so I have to keep talking because, you know, the edict, the direction in Deuteronomy is to learn these laws and teach them to your young. It's not just a matter of reading over some things and putting them in your head and getting rid of them. It's not just a matter of glancing through a magazine while you're standing in the line at the grocery store, but it is a matter of learning them and putting them in your heart, writing them. It says write them on your forehead and on the doorpost of your home. You may not write these things. You may not want to write these on the doorpost of your home, but it wouldn't hurt a thing in the world for you to make a poster with your children to let them see what good health habits look like and give them pictures to follow. And you will see, you'll soon see that everybody in the house is doing much better in more ways than one. And remember that February is African American History Month as well as Heart Health Month. And those are going to be our topics for February. March, we're going to return to, I shouldn't say return, March, we're going to look at exercise. But we have a good year ahead of us, and I am happy to share it with you. And, of course, we will always have a cup of tea. So we are coming to the last 20 seconds of the show. I will say goodbye. I will thank you again for joining me. No matter what happens, live well. Drink tea. I am the Health Reverend, Sandra Teresa Davenport. God bless you. Bye.